This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome to another edition of VSiN Primetime here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Femi Abebefe, hanging out with you guys at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas, alongside my guy, Will Hill, back on the East Coast. It was fun to have him in studio last Wednesday. He's back on his home turf on the East Coast this Wednesday. Will, how we doing here? As summer quickly going away, my friend, football is here.
It is. Great to be with you. It was fun being out there last week. We were just talking. It was, it was a fun experience. Cool to meet people. You will always get to say you watch my kids get kicked out of the bar for the first time. Apparently the bar doesn't allow 3-year-olds in there, but nope. That's another story. I felt like not happening. Grand opening, grand closing, but
yeah, right, your local center.
I think it's an underrated. Yes. I think it's an underrated night in the sports calendar. We always talk about, I know you bring up like the first NBA Saturday playoffs, and we all know March Madness, conference title games, some of the playoff dates. The first night of the NFL preseason, that Thursday where you get like a full game. Hall of Fame game's nice, but that first Thursday where you get, you know, 4 or 5 games and you get the multi-screen and you flip around, you get sick of it after a couple of weeks, but it's nice to have it back. It's nice to be able to watch it, to bet it, and we get that tomorrow. So we're getting there, Femi. 2 weeks from Saturday, college football kicks off. Everything's pushed back, it seems like, 4 or 5 days, but We'll get there, and we've made it in terms of the preseason. We get it back tomorrow night. Can't wait.
Oh, we absolutely cannot wait. I have bets on the preseason. I'm sure Will has bets as well on the NFL preseason. And like you mentioned, like the first couple of weeks, all right, it's cool. By the time you get to the end of it, it's like week 3 of the preseason. All right, like get this out of here. Let's get to the real stuff. Let's get to the NFL. Like at that point, because then college football then joins the conversation. So it's okay. We at least get meaningful football. We can watch the college stuff for a couple of weeks, and then we'll get the real deal NFL after Labor Day weekend. But it's a great time, and we're going to have ourselves a great time over these next 4 hours. As always, make sure to hit up VSiN.com/watch, the VSiN Watch app, if you'd like to watch us. You can listen to us live on Sirius XM channel 158 as we're in your ear 24/7. And make sure to tweet at the show at VSiN Live over on Twitter. At Femi Abebefe is where you can find me. At Not The Will Hill is where you can find Will. We got the whole crew hanging with us behind the glass here at Circa. Our producer, Garrett Bradbury Strickland, filling in for Corey York. Shout out to our guy, Garrett, hanging out with us here on VSiN Primetime on the ones and twos. He'll be with us these next 4 hours as we will have 3 guests joining us across the show. Starting 30 minutes from right now, our VSiN teammate Greg Peterson, host of the Baseball Betting Show, will join us to break down tonight's slate in Major League Baseball. Then at 9:45 Eastern Time, our VSiN teammate, betting analyst PJ Glasser, will hang out with us, talk all things college football, as PJ has a Heisman Trophy bet for us later this evening. You'll want to stick around for that one at 9:45 Eastern Time. And at 10:15 Eastern, betting analyst at Sportsline on CBS Sports HQ, Betting with Bearman is the podcast. It is our good buddy, David Bearman, talking all things FedEx Cup playoffs and his thoughts on the NFL futures market attacking not just regular season win totals, but also getting in some of the season-long props there for some of you fantasy football players out there. You want to stick around for the late night at 10:15 with our guy David Bearman. But Will, we have so much that we have to get to over the course of these 4 hours. Let's not waste any more time. Let's go right to the American League East for our VSiN Primetime Game of the Night.
The lights are on and the stakes are high. It's the Primetime Game of the Night.
Oh, it's getting good in Major League Baseball, and our primetime game of the night is the Red Sox at the Blue Jays in Toronto. Boston -124 on the money line, Toronto +115, total at 7. That's because we have Ranger Suarez versus Jose Soriano as our pitching matchup. The Red Sox were red hot. Like, they couldn't lose. Red Sox were streaking. They won, 27 or 31 games or whatever it was. Well, since then, they've lost 4 straight. that's baseball, right? Sometimes you get hot, sometimes you get cold. Red Sox have lost 4 straight. Meanwhile, the Toronto Blue Jays only 2.5 games back of the final AL wild card spot. I have a bet in this game, but Will, I want to give you first word. How do you make of this one? Side total in a matchup that's about to get underway in just a few minutes.
Not much from a betting standpoint, at least pregame here. I looked under, but the under looks a little low, 7.5.
Yeah.
Pay some juice, 7's even money. Dustin Sweetelson's on the under, 7 flat, and Jensen Lewis under 7.5. He got a decent number there. Looks like he laid minus 117. I would lean that way, but I just, man, under 7. It's just 3-3. Best you could do is push, obviously, because the 7th run has to come somewhere. That's just, there's not a lot of meat on the bone there, so I'll pass. But from a big picture perspective, man, Toronto is now the short shot. You have these odds, FanDuel, DraftKings, I'm sure books where you are, to be the 6th seed, and they are the short shot at plus 500. Now, they're the short shot because, or they're only the plus 500 because there's a lot of teams in the mix, Femi, the Orioles, the Tigers, all these NL Central teams, AL Central teams. There's a ton of teams bunched up for the final spot, but it's interesting because Toronto, not that long ago, I know we were doing these shows before the deadline. I was like, you know, they're probably dead. I think they got to 9-10 games under 500. You know, they'll sell Gausman. They'll maybe sell Bieber or some relievers. And they did trade Gausman. They get Soriano back, and they've played well. So they've got Cease. They've got nobody in the American League running away from them. This is a very big game. Let me get your thoughts on this game. And I don't know, did the Red Sox, did they peak too early? Is this going to be a trendy team come playoff time? And you know what? July is not October, and they kind of did, you know what, a little too early. What's your thoughts here on this game and just big picture of both these teams?
Yeah, let me go game first. I am backing Boston in the first 5 in this game. This is just purely a bet on Ranger Suarez to bounce back after a couple of lackluster starts that he has had against the Dodgers and the White Sox. Minus 112 was what I had to lay there for Red Sox first 5 money line. He's been one of the best pitchers in baseball, according to Fangraphs. Like, the ERA has been pretty good, 3.32. The FIP, even better, 2.70. We absolutely love to see that. Want to back a guy that's boasting those kind of underlying numbers. On the other side, Jose Soriano has regressed a little bit. Like, he's not what he was doing at the start of the season when he was being talked about as an AL Cy Young dark horse or anything like that, but I still think he's due some negative regression. So I think it happens tonight in his Blue Jays debut against his Boston Red Sox team, looking to get off the schneid, a 4-game losing streak. So that's what I think for tonight's game that is just about to get underway north of the border. As it pertains to the season-long stuff, I mean, it's kind of what I've been saying about Boston, right? You know, I've been the one guy kind of kicking and screaming, not wanting to buy in on this Red Sox win streak. Like, we see great teams have rough stretches. We see bad teams or average teams get hot. I feel like the Red Sox are the latter of that equation. Like, I think they'll probably still make the playoffs just because they did so much damage over the month of July and like also the early portion of August here. But do I see this team as like a dark horse to win the American League pennant? I really do not. They have the pitching. I get it. Like, the lineup, every now and then it looks good. Sometimes it goes cold. I just don't buy it. And the thing for me that's biggest amongst all is that the results you get in June and July tend to be the noisiest results in all of baseball, because that's smack dab in the middle of the season. Those are the dog days that we talk about. Because once you get to August past deadline, all right, let's get up for the stretch run. Once you're in September, it's like, okay, well, now we're getting ready for October. But like the June, July months, those results, they just tend to be a little bit noisy, and there's really no correlation with success in those two particular months with success in October. So I've been one of the guys that's been on the outside of this Red Sox thing, and I hope they get it done tonight because I bet them in the first 5. But long term, this to me feels like wild card team. If they run up against the Yankees, I'll like the Yankees against them in a series, obviously pending matchup, but I don't think the Red Sox are going to be long for October.
What if they got the Yankees without Judge? Now, it sounds like Judge thinks he's going to come back, and there's no reason not to believe him. I know you've been, yeah, you're skeptical that if you would pick the Yankees over the Red Sox, even if Judge was not in the mix?
No, I mean, if Judge is not, do I get Stanton and Bellinger?
Like, I don't, man, Stanton.
But I mean, who knows with Stanton at this point?
Yeah.
You'll
probably get Bellinger.
Yeah, Bellinger.
I think you get Judge, too. I don't think Judge is going to come out and say, hey, I'm going to be back. Why wouldn't I be back?
And then
I mean,
not
you never
come
know.
Back.
They're not back till they're back, but I don't know. It'll be interesting. I bet him, and I talked about him when they were 24-1 to win the American League right before the All-Star break, just because I said, you know what, they're playing well. Get ahead of that number. They're right now 5-1. If that's the correct number we're looking at, 5-1 to win the pennant.
Yep.
No, thank you with the 5-1.
No,
just,
no way.
They're not winning the division. That means you got to go best 2 out of 3. You might be on the road. That's a 3-leg parlay. You're just better off betting it series by series once October comes around. If that's your intuition, there's no value on that 5-1.
They're 12-1 to win the World Series.
Like, no, thank you.
I'm like, no. Get out of here. I'm a Chicago Cubs guy officially. Like I've been talking about this team. I've been circling them saying, hey, if they could just get some pitching at the deadline, they did get the pitching at the deadline. I have made bets on the Chicago Cubs to win the World Series. Because I think if you're going to pick a team in the National League that's not the Dodgers, just bet them to also win the World Series as well.
Yes.
Because there's a good chance they're likely to be favored against the American League. So I bet some 16-1 and some 14-1. I think anything better than 10-1 on Chicago, on the Cubs that is a bet to win the World Series. That's my thought process. Like their lineup has been pretty solid. The pitching staff is now starting to come together a little bit. Defensively, they're just absolutely outstanding. I really like their makeup. They've been one of the best teams in baseball all season long, and now it's starting to show in the standings. And over at DraftKings, it's now 11-1, so a little bit of meat left on the bone there, Will. But I think the Cubs are a bet right now to win the World Series. It's a bet that I have made over the last about week or so, both 16-1 and 14-1.
I'm right behind you. I got them too. 16-1. Go Cubs, go! Let's hope the Dodgers, you know, just stumble, which. Yeah, you know, we know it could happen. Schoolboy hasn't been great. The pitchers are coming back, but who knows? In a short series, and maybe they don't have to play the Dodgers. And Dodgers might have to go the long route here. The Dodgers might have to deal with the best two out of three. So, you know, who knows? And last thing on this, too, I want the Cubs to avoid the Phillies. The Phillies are not playing well, because I don't want to deal with Wheeler and Sanchez in a best two out of three in that 4-5. Mm-hmm. But with the way the Phillies are playing, who knows? Maybe the Cubs catch the Brewers, and the Phillies might not make it at all. Phillies have not played well here for a while.
I'm not scared of Philadelphia. Yes, they have Wheeler. Yes, they have Sanchez. They also have Harper, Schwarber, and Turner. Guys who do absolutely nothing in October. Bring on Philadelphia. I don't give a damn. I do give a damn about this show, as we're going to have some fun here on VSIN Primetime on a Wednesday night.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Football is back, and some of the best betting opportunities of the year start with the NFL preseason. Sign up for VSiN Pro today and get both our NFL and college football betting guides packed with team previews, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from VSiN's sharpest minds to help you bet football smarter all season long. You also get the daily best bets, the real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, including our new MLB player props and totals picks, plus 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Start today for just $9.99 or get a full year and save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We are in the bottom of the ninth here on VSiN Primetime. Fan Bepe Will Hill. Bottom of the ninth between the Brewers and the Padres. The Friars got a runner on second here, two away, though. So we are inching closer and closer to extra innings. We'll see how it plays out, but that's what's happening in San Diego. In the Bronx, I believe Randy Arozarena just went ahead and hit a two-run bomb. So it is now 2-0 Mariners, or at least I know the Mariners. Yeah, it's definitely a 2-0 because the game just started. I was like, the tripod is blocking the Yankees portion of the score, right? In the studio. Well, you have now at least seen, Will, how the tripod sometimes blocks the score bugs here in the studio. But I see Seattle, too, and I see NYY, and then the tripod is right there. So it is 2-0, though, in the first after Randy Arozarena shot there to put the Mariners. Soto Mojo, they're up there in New York.
Arozarena, going back to, it was the 2020 playoffs, the COVID year with the Rays, and nobody had heard of Arozarena. Mm-hmm. That was just a weird year, weird circumstance for all those different reasons. He killed the Yankees that series in the divisional round. He has killed them ever since. I'd love to see his numbers versus the Yanks, but he hits a little, I can't tell, it looked like a Yankee Stadium homer because it was a breaking ball away and he just kind of slapped it into the seats. I am on under 8.5. I just think with the Yankees and their offense or their lack of offense and their pitching, two good bullpens, Yankees to me are an underplay until further notice, until they get some of their guys back, because there's just no Judge, no Bellinger, no Stanton. There's just not a lot of pop, and they got good pitching, and you don't really trust a lot of those guys in the bullpen, but the bullpen ERA for both these teams is pretty good. So not off to a great start. 2-0 Seattle, but my other play wasn't off to a great start either. Cleveland and Detroit, that was 2-0 Cleveland right off the bat. Framber Valdez, we all have these pitchers you can't really either, it's not even you can't trust them. You're just on the wrong side of it. You bet against them, and they pitch great. You bet on them, they pitch poorly. Framber Valdez is like that for me. He gave up two quick runs, but I believe Detroit bounced back and tied it. We'll see here if we're still at 2-2 as I'm pulling up the scores.
Yeah, I see
2-2. And the odds, it is 2-2 bottom of the second, as I don't think we've mentioned him, Femi. Detroit, they were a team. They've been a team we talked about a lot the last few weeks. Are they in? Are they out? Will they trade Skubal? They not only trade Skubal, as that looks like another Yankee Stadium homer, and that one's a little deeper.
Julio!
That's in the second deck. That would have been gone anywhere. Julio Rodriguez makes it 3-0. So an inauspicious start for Will Warren and the Yankees. But Detroit, Femi, they're live. To me, they're very live. I don't trust the White Sox. I know, great story and all that. Cleveland has their flaws. The Twins certainly have their flaws. And all right, Detroit got rid of Skubal. They got rid of Mize. Look at the run differential. Look at the lineup. Granted, Riley Green's on the IL. That last wild card spot, even the division, are right there for the taking. Plus 155 to make the playoffs. Do you think Detroit gets in? What are your thoughts here on the Tigers and just this post-deadline resurgence?
I definitely think they're way live. I'm pulling it up right now. You said plus, what's the plus number on them to make the playoffs?
Plus 155 to make the playoffs. Oh, man, I saw they're plus 800 to get the sixth seed, and then they're like plus 250 to win the division.
I think at this point, I would rather just bet them to win the division as opposed to do the play. Because like the playoff one, it's like plus one. I get like you have more outs. Like they could win the division. They could be a wild card. But I feel like the value is kind of gone out of that one. Like they're only 2.5 games back. In order to make the playoffs, they're going to have to keep playing well. If they keep playing well, there's a decent chance they could run down Chicago and you get paid out plus 250 as opposed to like plus 155 or whatever it happens to be. So that's how I would attack it. I kind of think they might win the Central. Like, I'm sort of getting there. I was Mr. White Sox for the last couple of months here. I loved the story. I thought this team was playing great baseball, but I think they're just running out of gas. You know, like these 162 game marathons, like this, if you're not accustomed to it and you don't have the top end talent, you can hit the stretch where it's like all of a sudden, okay, now we've just hit the wall. And I think that's kind of where the White Sox are at, I should say. So to me, it would be Tigers in that division to win it. Like I don't believe in Minnesota. I can't get there with Cleveland. Like obviously Kansas City's already out of it. So yeah, it's Detroit, I think, to win that division. So plus 250. If I had to bet it, that's how I'd attack that market in the AL Central.
So Detroit plays Cleveland tonight. They play them again tomorrow, and then they host the White Sox Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So
they could be in first place by the end of the weekend.
Few games. They could be in first place by the end of the weekend.
Yeah. Like, plus 250 to me is the bet right there on the Tigers. Like, I had been eyeing it. What was it? Was it last week or so? I didn't bet it because I was just like, oh, I think the value's kind of out of it. And I want to say that we're still like four back or something. But, man, it is one of those like, okay, like I do. This is my bet regret division, the AL Central. I had bet regret not betting the White Sox at the big prices like a couple months ago. And then now I have bet regret of not getting in on Detroit once they traded Skubal. And everyone was like, oh, they're done. They're selling. They traded Skubal. They traded Mize. I thought the same. Well, I'm not making fun of anybody. My hand is up. But like that was clearly a buy signal of like, hey, this young team is – they're not going to just go down just like dogs and just say, all right, we'll play out the string. Like, no, let's go make the playoffs. Let's see if we can go on a run because the Tigers have already done that in recent memory. So – a little bit of bet regret here in the AL Central, not getting invested in Detroit at the deadline.
And look at the pitching. Troy Melton looks like a top of the rotation guy.
Awesome.
Framber Valdez, unpredictable, but he's been a top of the rotation guy his whole career. Jackson Joe, probably not a household name, but he was the third, fourth pick in the draft. He's got the pedigree. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's 3/5 of your rotation right there. You got Flair. I mean, you got guys in the lineup wasn't touched. They didn't sell off batters. Now, again, Riley Green is hurt, but Detroit here is very live here to make a run, and it's tough because there were some fat numbers on them to win the division. I was in Vegas just a week ago, they were 14-1 to be the sixth seed. All of those numbers, man, look so good right now. Of course, you got to play the ball where it lies, and it's easy to say that now, but there were some really, really long numbers on the Tigers.
Would you ever get invested in Seattle?
Oh, boy.
6-1 to win the American League West at DraftKings.
That's not bad.
Four
back in the loss column. 6-1 is probably – that's the first – I haven't been high on this team. I thought last year, and we've talked about this, the way they lost in the ALCS, similar to how Toronto lost the World Series. You worry about a hangover. Never should have lost it. And I wasn't high on them. I thought there might be a carryover. I don't know if there has been, but they haven't played well. They haven't hit. I haven't liked them all year. That being said, we're now at the price. You're not even money. You're not plus 120 or 150. You're talking about 6-1. I don't like the Astros. I don't trust the Rangers. I have the Rangers at 4-1, I think, to win the division. So that might be a nice little, hey, I'll just kind of play against the Astros.
Yeah.
You could talk me into the Rangers at 6-1. Now that number might be moving here as they're winning tonight. You get to the point this late in the year, Femi, where one win might move the number, even if it's a little bit, but absolutely 6-1 to win the West. I think I got to probably get that one in the account. How about you?
I think I might be there. Like, and I'm a Mariners fan. Like, I'm already just like, this team has disgusted me all season long.
Yes.
I was never really like in on this team. Cause like you said, there was definitely a hangover effect. Like, it's the closest they've ever gotten to a World Series last year, and they blew it in that game. I mean, they had a 3-2 lead going back to Toronto to take on the Blue Jays there, and they blow game 6 and 7. But at this point, like, this team still does have a lot of talent. And they, while they've been asleep, like, nobody has absolutely killed them in this AL West. As bad as – they're 8 games below 500, and they're only 5 games back. Like, that's remarkable. Like, it really is remarkable.
It's the same thing as Detroit. They're a good 4 or 5 days. They're a good week away from being in first place. I agree.
Like, to me, like, I think it's still all out there in front of the Mariners. Like, Houston and Texas right now, like, yes, 3 weeks ago, I thought probably one of the Texas teams that's going to take care of business. But we're talking about price, and when you factor in the price, like, right now, Houston's minus 115. I would never bet that. Texas is plus 145. No. I would never bet that. But Seattle at 6-1, when you factor in the price and only 5 games back, let's see what they do in the Bronx. Like obviously, they're off to a good start tonight, but there's still a lot of baseball to be played. I think it's worth something at 6-1. It doesn't have to be a massive bet. It could just be something fun to sweat in what I guess they're now calling the AL Worst as opposed to the AL West.
I haven't heard of that. That's clever. AL Worst. Did you, trademark that?
It was not mine. It was not bad. I can actually tell you exactly who it was. It was, I believe... ESPN was doing like their top 10 storylines for the rest of the Major League Baseball season. And I was reading it and they were like, oh, like who's going to win the AL Worst? And I was like, oh, okay. That's pretty good. 10 storylines that will shape the MLB season. So I believe this was David Schoenfield, however you say his name. I believe he was the one that came up with it. Either him or one of his editors did. But yes, who wins the AL Worst was the question. No team has ever won a division title with a losing record. It almost happened in the strike-shortened season of 1994 when the Texas Rangers were leading the AL West at 52-62. Oh, my God. When
That's
the strike
amazing.
Hit in early August, it might happen in the AL West in 2026 with the Astros and Rangers hovering around 500 and the Seattle Mariners dropping like Wile E. Coyote off a cliff. That line right there is why I want to buy, because I think everyone now is officially out on Seattle. And usually when everyone's out, when there's blood in the streets, time to get greedy. 6-1, Mariners, AL Worst. We're going to go out there and bet it. I'm in.
And 6-1, I would like to shop around. Maybe, you know, who knows?
Might
if there's
better.
A 6-1, who knows? Maybe there's a 7-1.
Might find better. Don't tempt me with a good time. Although we will do that when we come back next with our VSiN teammate, our good buddy, Greg Peterson.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Oh, the good times rolling along here on VSiN Primetime, here on VSiN, the sports betting network. Femi Bebfe, Will Hill, hanging with you guys on this Wednesday night. We are in the bottom of the 10th right now. Runners on first and second between the Brewers and the Padres. San Diego looking to get this one. Now, this is a big, big game here in that NL Central, which we can talk about with our guest that's joining us right now, our good buddy, our VSiN teammate. He is the one and only, Greg Peterson, and he joins us via the Progressive Guest Line. Check out the Baseball Betting Show, which is his podcast, and he's on Twitter at GUnit_81. Greg, the Brew Crew, they're struggling a little bit as of late. Meanwhile, the Chicago Cubs, I do know that they trail 1-0 against the Nationals, but it's early. The Cubs have been surging. As a Wisconsinite, any concern that the Cubs might run down the Brewers in the NL Central?
Oh, there absolutely is concern. The Brewers needed a bat at the trade deadline, and they didn't get a bat. That's the biggest thing with this Brewers team, because I think that they've got the pitching to be able to win the division. Logan Anderson did not look good yesterday. No fans or buts about it, but you still have Jacob Mizrowski. Henderson, aside from that start, he's been able to do a relatively solid job. And for that matter as well, it was a little bit shaky for Kyle Harrison out there in San Diego as well. But I do overall think that the pitching is solid. You just need that bat that strikes fear into a team. And for the Brewers, while it's nice that they small ball you to death, when you get into the playoffs, you need that big hit. I don't think that they have that. And you're going to need that in September baseball as well. So there is real fear that the Cubs are going to be able to track them down, because the Cubs, they went for it at the trade deadline. You pick up Clay Holmes, you pick up Kevin Gausman, big upgrades there. They should be getting a few guys off the injured list for that bullpen as well. So I think it's very real that the Cubs can win this division, and sort of do to the Brewers what the Brewers did to the Cubs quite a few years ago in 2018.
Greg, I don't know if I've talked to you since. Were you furious that the Brewers didn't top the Dodgers offer for Schoolboy and say, hey, let's do a little CC Sabathia 2.0 almost 20 years later? We got a good farm system. We've come up short in the playoff a number of times. Let's just go for it. What was your perspective on the Dodgers getting Schoolboy from a Brewers perspective here?
Would have loved to have seen him go to a team not named the Dodgers, but personally, as a Brewers fan, I wanted them to get a bat. Like, that was the biggest thing for me. I think that the Brewers have more than enough pitching to be just fine with regards to the playoffs. They needed more offense, though, and they did not get that, and that's what's really off-putting to me, because for the Brewers, if you can add in there a nice bat, if they would have went there and went for maybe a guy like an Adley Rutschman, like the Boston Red Sox did, I think that that would have set them over the top. Heck, Luis Garcia. Why not go after a guy like a Luis Garcia? So that's a big thing for me with the Brewers. I'm not so upset that they didn't go for Drake Scoble. Obviously, would have loved to see him not go to a team named the LA Dodgers, but really felt like they needed to upgrade that offense.
Yeah, it almost feels like the Dodgers traded for Scoble so that he couldn't go to Milwaukee. Almost like Milwaukee should have taken the mindset of, hey, let's trade for Scoble. We might not need him, but just so that the Dodgers can't get Tarik Scoble, we will have Scoble, even though they also needed a bat, like you mentioned. This is VSiN Primetime. Femi Bebefe, Will Hill, hanging out with our VSiN teammate Greg Peterson, host of the Baseball Betting Show. Get it wherever you get your podcast, and he's on Twitter at GUnit_81. All right, let's talk about some live bets that you have currently going on, some sweats that you have. The Guardians Tigers, Will and I were discussing Detroit in the last segment and how we think that the Tigers could be a team that wins the American League Central. You bet them today, -125. They're up 3-2 in the bottom of the third. What have you liked that you've seen from that game? And how do you see this one playing out the rest of the way?
And I think that this is a good spot for the Tigers because I love the way that that bullpen is rounded into form. If you remember when the Tigers made the postseason 2 years ago, it's almost a very similar script, because you remember they traded away Jack Flaherty that season. Then they went into bullpen madness. They trade away Casey Mize. They trade away Tarik Skubal. Now they're mixing and matching. Like, Drew Anderson got us started this series. Drew Anderson is a guy that's been coming out of the bullpen as a long reliever for much of the season. They might have to throw out their tight end as a starter, another bulk guy. And that's the way that they're doing it. If you look since June 1st, the Detroit Tigers have been a top four team in terms of bullpen ERA with a sub-325 bullpen ERA. That has been the key for this team. Along with that, you get Gleyber Torres off the injured list. They just get back Javi Baez as well. That fortifies a lineup where you had a bunch of jobber dudes that were giving you like a 200 batting average at the bottom of the fold. Now, all of a sudden, you've got guys ready to move the line, get on base. The 20-plus home runs for Spencer Torkelson, the 25-plus home runs for Dylan Dingler. Now they go from solo shots to 2- and 3-run shots. I really like what I'm seeing out of the Tigers right now. I think they have a very real chance of being able to make the postseason. I don't know if they'd be able to win the American League or anything like that, but keep in mind, when they made the playoffs in 2024, they won that series against the Astros, and the Astros had made like 8 or 9 straight American League Championship Series. So I think there's real value on them moving forward. I like what I'm seeing tonight, so feeling good about that money line. I do think that you could be live for an under with what I was talking about with that great bullpen and Guardians being a bottom five team in terms of run creation this year.
All right, Greg, game that's about to start in a few minutes. We have a rematch. I believe this is the 1919 infamous World Series, the White Sox against the Reds. It's Luis Castillo going against his former team. Total 8.5. Louder going for the Reds. White Sox -142. By the way, I've noticed, and I don't know if you feel the same way or have noticed the same thing, a lot more dime lines in baseball, I think, trying to compete with the prediction markets. But what's your thought here, White Sox and Reds?
I have noticed that, and I very much appreciate it, because when you're going up 20-plus cents with regards to these lines, that's a little bit rough. So very much do appreciate it, and I remember that 1919 World Series very well, just like it was yesterday. But that said, I'm in on the White Sox here on the money line. I know that it has not been the world's greatest season for Luis Castillo. I do think that a change of scenery could do him some good, and ironically enough, I believe that he faced off against the Reds a few weeks ago, his former team when he was with the Seattle Mariners. I just haven't loved what I've seen out of Rhett Lauder. four plus walks per nine innings, less than eight strikeouts per nine, and you're just putting yourself on the side of the better offense with the White Sox, a top eight team in terms of run creation. Three different guys, Montauk Amir Kami, Colson Montgomery, Miguel Vargas, with at least 24 home runs apiece. And now you've got some like a Sammy Antenacci at the top of the fold moving the line. And for the Reds, the bottom of the lineup is just absolutely terrible right now. Like those bottom three, bottom four guys are all hitting like a 200. The bullpen has been rough all season long. They've been a bottom seven team in terms of bullpen ERA. So I think that this is a good spot for the White Sox. Took them on the money line, and up to a nine is where I'd be willing to go on that over.
How about later on tonight on the West Coast? 10:10 is the first pitch Eastern time. Royals and the Dodgers got Daniel Lynch versus Eric Lauer. Dodgers minus 216 at DraftKings. You have Kansas City plus 200 with the total at nine. Anything that tickles the fancy there?
Since the Dodgers picked up Tarik Skubal, they have covered approximately zero run lines. I think that this is number one. Daniel Lynch has been really good coming out of the bullpen. They tried him for a start last week, and he only got five outs. Like, when he's fully stretched out, I actually do think that Daniel Lynch is a presentable starter. I felt like he should have been in the rotation to start with, but, I mean, I just don't know how long he's going to be able to go in this game. And for the Kansas City Royals, out of the 15 American League teams, they are 15th in terms of bullpen ERA, and they are dead last of the big leagues in terms of run creation away from home. Now, I do like the over because you've got Eric Lauer who's giving up two-plus home runs per nine innings. He has not been as good as the ERA would indicate, but for the Dodgers, I think that they get aboard Daniel Lynch. I think that they just claw into that bullpen and just, frankly, mash your way to victory. So with that nine total, I took the over. And for the Dodgers, was seeing that right around even money, minus 105 overnight, would be willing to go up to a minus 110, laying run F on the run line.
All right, Greg, the final game of the night, the get-out game, Rangers at the Angels. Cal Quantrill going for Texas. Texas, a small minus 127 or so favorite, total nine. Any thoughts here, side or total?
I'm in on the under. This is an Angels team that has not been able to hit to save their lives since the All-Star break. 22 games since the All-Star break. They're averaging about 2.5 runs per game. Like, oh my goodness, it has went straight down the toilet bowl for this team. And they're last in the big leagues in terms of total run creation at home this year as well. And it's not even necessarily the greatest pitcher-friendly ballpark in the world. Now, I recognize that Cal Quantrill's not going to go out there and, like, get you 100 million, billion strikeouts or anything like that. He's had, like, six strikeouts per nine innings. But, I mean, this is an Angels team that's just allergic to putting the ball in play right now. I took the Rangers on the money line because I do think that their offense is going to be a little bit better. And George Klaassen, he actually was okay at the minor league level in the PCL, which a sub 450 ERA in the PCL, it doesn't sound like much. It's actually pretty solid. He does give up a lot of walks, though, and that leaves him prone to be knocked out of the start a little bit early. You've got an Angels bullpen that it's actually not been terrible here since the beginning of the month of June, since they let go of Alek Manoah, but it's still not a team that you want to trust in with regards to their bullpen. So I took the Rangers on the money line and that nine total to the under.
All right, that is our guy, Greg Peterson. Make sure you check out the Baseball Betting Show. That's the podcast. He's on Twitter documenting his baseball stuff, does great work for VSiN.com as well. Check out his run catalog that he's been doing as well all throughout the summertime, running 12 miles a day. The man is absolutely incredible. He's on Twitter at GUnit_81. Greg, good luck with the bets. Be well, stay hydrated, and we'll talk to you next week, man.
Absolutely. Staying hydrated right now, gentlemen. Thank you.
Look at that. Our favorite Wisconsinite, Greg Peterson, joining us via the Progressive guest line. While we were speaking with Greg, Will, the Milwaukee Brewers, this will be music to Greg's ears. Brewers are up 3-2 in the top of the 11th, and they have runners on the corner with nobody out. Milwaukee trying to get a win on the road at Petco Park. We will see if they can add on to that lead when we come back here on VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We've got Ducks on the Pond at Petco Park in San Diego. Welcome back. This is VSiN Primetime. Femi Bebfe, Will Hill. Thank you to our VSiN teammate Greg Peterson, who joined us in the last segment, giving us his thoughts on tonight's card in Major League Baseball, and also about his Milwaukee Brewers, who are trying to hold off the Chicago Cubs in the NL Central. Well, the Brew Crew, one swing of the bat away from maybe opening this thing up in the top of the 11th against San Diego. Bases loaded, two outs. Bryce Turang right now at the plate for Milwaukee. So we'll see if he can get something going here for the Brew Crew. Of course, the Padres will have their chance in the bottom of the 11th. Also staying in the NL Central, the Nationals have a 1-0 lead on the Chicago Cubs. Chicago has been red hot so far since the trade deadline. They've been playing really well all throughout the summertime. But Chicago now has joined the 70 club in the big leagues. Our VSiN primetime game of the night, Blue Jays and the Red Sox. It's 1-0 Toronto in the bottom of the third. I am on the first five on Boston in the first five at -112. So Ranger Suarez has been, he's been solid. You know, I would like for the Red Sox offense to kind of wake up. For some reason, they just stopped scoring now, like in this four-game losing streak. Let's get this thing going right in the right direction here, fellas. But that's where things currently stand right now in our VSiN primetime game of the night. Anything that catches your eye, Will, when you take a look at some of the scores that we have around Major League Baseball?
No, more bad base running by the Yankees. They're down 3-0. We're down 3-0. A little infield single by Jazz Chisholm, and then a double by Ryan McMahon to score. Chisholm scores easily. Tricky hop off the wall, but McMahon, just a Cardinals in a baseball, you don't make the first or last out at third base, and he made the last out at third base, and it wasn't very close. I mean, he was dead. He was out by 20 feet and basically just walks into the tag and you know, waits, runs into the dugout. So 3-1 right now. Mariners, you and I both mentioned, hey, 6-1 on the Mariners is, even though you and I have not liked this team, 6-1 is intriguing, and that might be the time to pull the trigger. And you know what? They lose the next three or four, and they fall 7-8 out, and they're dead. You know what? You lost the 6-1, and you move on to the next one. As it looks like Dominic Canzone is going to make this a 4-1 game. That's a long home run. Will Warren cannot keep the ball in the ballpark. I like the under. I'm on the wrong side of it right now because this is his third home run he's given up. Arozarena got him. Julio Rodriguez got him. And now Canzone got him. All the right field. So Warren is having a rough night. And you wonder if his days in the rotation are numbered. They don't really have anyone to replace him until Rodon comes back. But 4-1 Mariners with the lead. Did you pull the trigger on the 6-1? Is it up during the game?
So they're
anywhere you're at? I don't have it.
In Nevada, they are down. So I have not been able to bet this now. I definitely looked, that's for damn sure. I'm assuming they'll probably come back up at one shop later this evening, at another probably tomorrow morning. And at that point, I'll probably pull the trigger on Seattle. Unless
it's 5-1? What if they win tonight?
If they win tonight and it's 5-1, I'm still going to bet it. Like I am. I think like at this point, it's like +375 is probably like where I'm just like, okay, like settle down. I'm not going to bet that. But like 4-1 or better,
yeah,
I think I'm taking a shot with the Seattle Mariners. In fact, I am going to take a shot with the Mariners. So I'm going to shop around. Hopefully we can find better than this. Maybe we can find a +650. You know, maybe we can find that. But I think this Mariners team, they have the talent. The division is horrendous. Nobody's running away with it. Why can't Seattle get hot and play well over the back half of August and play well in the month of September? Because like as much as we're as close as we are to the postseason, there's still a decent amount of baseball to be played. You know, like baseball is one of those seasons where we can say like, oh, there's so much baseball to be played until like 2 weeks left in the regular season. Like there's a lot of baseball to be played. So I think that the Mariners can still erase this 5-game deficit they currently face in the American League worst, as it has been tabbed by others out there in the baseball media space. So that's what's going on right now in Major League Baseball. I want to remind everybody out there that's watching and listening, pay close attention to this. $30 million in guaranteed prizes. Cash in this football season in Las Vegas with 3 Circa Sports contests. Entries starting at $1,000, all with no rake. That means every dollar stays in the prize pool. Circa Million, that's 18 weeks, 128 ways to win. Circa Survivor, pick one winner each week, last one standing wins. And Circa Grandissimo for the big ballers, $100,000 entry. Enter in Nevada, play from anywhere, $30 million guaranteed. Visit circasports.com for the details. Were you able to sign up when you're out here, Will?
Not yet, but I will. Okay. I'll get it. I got a partner who doesn't live in Vegas, but doesn't live too far away. So I'll be in. I'll do probably, I don't know how many of each, still kind of debating that part of it, but definitely going to be in the million survivor, probably join the college contest. And
oh, you did hopefully, the last man standing for college?
I don't know if it's that one. I think Westgate just has, you pick like 5 against the spread every week. I think one of those contests. Yeah. Okay. Are you getting in on that? I think it's $500.
College, no. I won't be in on the college one. Just like spread too thin, you know? It's like some stuff has to get left on the cutting room floor. I'll definitely be in on the Circa Million. I'll have one on that, and I'll have two solo entries for sure in Survivor. I usually get like my wife an entry because she likes to play and likes to sweat it out if she's going to be hanging out with me watching some of the games. And I'll see if maybe I add like another one on top or something like that. So at least a couple solo. One will be my wife's, which would be like essentially like 50% ownership. And then we'll see if we do another one. So that's currently where I'm at with the Circus Survivor. Unless anyone out there wants to team up on something, we can make something happen and do the full boat, 10 entries with 10 different people across the board. I have 100 entries, you know, believe me, it happens.
can't wait. I think you and I talked about this. I think you said you're leaning Seattle possibly for Survivor.
I am.
Week one.
Well, it's twofold, man. Right? It's like one, like they're a decent sized favorite at home against an unfamiliar opponent, and then two, like if you do lose on that one, you can rebuy in by the Saturday deadline.
Yeah,
you know. So like I think Seattle, right. Like they play in a tough division. The schedule's not easy. I know they play on Christmas, but they play the Rams on Christmas. Like you want to sign up for that one? I'm good. So I think for me, Seattle is kind of one of those. I don't know if they'll be like way off the beaten path because like they do have that opening night game. And I think that a game usually gets more than you would think, but that's just kind of where I'm leaning towards. If you want to get real frisky, I mean, you can look at the Houston Texans if you want to get frisky. But like, do you want to have your Circus Survivor entry going up against Josh Allen? Like, that doesn't seem like a whole lot of fun. But Houston's defense is really good, but there's no going back on that one like there is with Seattle. So I think Seattle's kind of where I'm at currently, but I want to sit with it some more, and I'll make the decision in full once we actually get to week one. But right now, Seattle's kind of where I'm leaning. Have you identified one?
Yeah. No, I mean, there's the push and pull between you want to be contrarian, you don't want to take the biggest favorite, but you also don't want to be. You don't want to get too cute, and you see a lot of that with Survivor. I've kind of gotten, and it's not like I've won or got close to winning, so people are sitting there, you know, taking notes on what I think or what I'm going to say, but so many people are going to say, let me pick this team, let me pick that team, or it's, you know what, at the beginning, maybe you do just try to survive the first, whatever, 4 or 6 weeks, and then you play a little game theory. So it's always that cat and mouse, and there's no right or wrong way to do it. You're going to have to win, you know, basically, what, 20 games on the money line in a row, which is not easy in the NFL, even if it's not with the spread, even if it's just straight up. But I do feel like people get a little too cute too early.
I will say this, though, to push back on what you said about, like, I haven't made it far, or how am I qualified? Like, everyone who's played this is qualified to give, because, like, the margins are so thin between the winners and someone who got knocked out even in, like, week two.
Oh, sure.
Like, it just takes one thing to not go your way, and you're done. And the people who won, congratulations to them. They obviously maybe had a bunch of different outs, a bunch of different partners or whatever. Like, I mean, like, they must have, obviously, this past season, given that we saw all underdogs win Thanksgiving and on Black Friday. So they had multiple entries where they could at least hedge one on the underdog. So it's not like they played, like, some perfect game with one entry. Like, everyone kind of has a leg to stand on when it comes to Survivor. It's just... You're dodging 20 landmines, you know?
Sure.
That's what the competition is. It's 20 landmines. Can you dodge them? And yes, it can be getting cute at times, but man, I think I'd rather just get knocked out being cute as opposed to being knocked out with the masses. It's just like something about being knocked out with the masses just feels gross. It's like I was playing like a coward. I was trying to do the quote unquote safe thing. Especially early in the season when we don't even know how good the teams even are. It's like how do you know that's safe? The point spread's 7.5, but like, should it be? You know, should the Patriots were what, laying 3 against the Raiders week one? What's that point spread in January? Like, you know what I mean? Like, so it's like, even if
no
you think
such
something
is a layup,
there's no such thing as a layup. So yeah, that's just kind of where I'm at. I'm like, hey, you know what? Whether it's week two or week 17, you get knocked out, you win $0 regardless, I guess, unless you put it up on one of the many avenues where you can monetize your ticket, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Can't wait, though. I mean, it's just such a great contest, so much fun. And to your point, if I was ever lucky enough to win, I wouldn't. Oh, man, look how great I was. Look how I did. You dance between the raindrops for 20 games, and there is certainly an element of luck to it for sure.
100%. Like, there's no victory lapping a Survivor. It's just like, oh, my goodness, I cannot believe that I actually accomplished this, because this is an impossible, as easy as it sounds, pick one winner each week, last one standing wins, anything but. By the way, we're tied again at Petco Park, 3-3 in the bottom of the 11th. Will it ever end? I'm not sure, but we'll update you when we begin hour number two of VSiN Primetime.